Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really, really glad you tuned in today. And here's a question for you. When was the last time you pondered, reveled in, and wrapped yourself up in God's love? I'm going to ask that again. I want you to be honest with yourself. When was the last time you pondered, you reveled in, you wrapped yourself up in God's love? Do you know that in order for us to do and be everything God intended us to be, that our thoughts need to repeatedly return to the love of God, the love that He has for us, and that He loved us first? It's not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And you know, we have about 1,000 contrary messages coming at us every day. And it's only the love of God, the passionate personal love of our Savior, that will heal us, restore us, and establish us. In fact, do me a favor. This is sort of out of the box, but just do it with me if you would. Let's recite the childhood song, Jesus Loves Me, together. You ready? I want you to do it out loud. I don't know. I don't care if you're in your car, at your home, even at work. Go ahead and do it. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. It's good for your soul to hear that. It's even good for your ears to hear that. Well, my guest today is Dee Breston, and she joins me again. We are having her on 3 months in a row to talk about her book, He Calls You Beautiful, Hearing the Voice of Jesus in the Song of Songs. And you hear this, guys, I know we have as many men listening as women. You hear He Calls You Beautiful, and you might be tempted to tune out. But I'm telling you, you need to know this love. You need to know this love as much as women need to know this love. And what Dee has to say is for you as well. So let me tell you about Dee, and we'll get her on the show. Dee Breston's best known as a Bible study author and author of best-selling books like The Friendships of Women, Falling in Love with Jesus, and Idle Lies. Her book and Bible study released this summer, the one we're talking about today, He Calls You Beautiful. Dee's an international speaker and is involved with prison ministry. It's called Discipleship Unlimited. She's a mother to 5 and a grandmother to 13. She makes her home in the beautiful Door County, Wisconsin. Dee, welcome back to the program.
It's so good to be with you, Suzy.
Love every time you join us, Dee, and you know the drill, so here we go. I'm asking you for a verse that's speaking to your heart these days, and you chose Song of Songs 6:3. I'm my beloved's, and He is mine. Say a word, if you would, about that.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. Martin Luther used that verse during the Reformation to explain the gospel to his peers whom he felt were losing it. He said, listen to this. I am my beloved, and He is mine. What happens at a wedding? Everything that is the bride's becomes the groom's, and everything that is the groom's becomes the bride. So in this marriage to Christ, what do we give Him? We give Him all of our sin and all of our failures. And what does He give us? He gives us all of His grace, all of His righteousness, all of His riches, and that is permanent, and that is the exchange of the gospel. And I love that picture.
That's beautiful. Wow. Well, you've written a number of books, and for those who've missed our first interview, I'd love for you to just do a reset and talk to us about this book, He Calls You Beautiful, and even specifically, what drew you to the Song of Songs?
Well, originally I was drawn as a young Christian just to the picture of marriage, and I was a new Christian and a new bride, and I just loved that God thought marriage was important and that the marriage bed was to be pure and passionate. But later I saw that this earthly picture points to a deeper picture, because in Ephesians 5 it says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother. And I speak of a mystery, because this points to the relationship between Christ and His bride. So when we see this bridegroom in the song rejoicing over her, we realize Christ rejoices over us. And when we see her adoring Him and loving Him and wanting to be closer to Him, that is what Christ wants us to do, whether we are male or female. This is the secret of the Christian life.
Well, I wonder why it's so difficult, Dee, for us to grasp the idea of God's love and why we are just so bent to go it on our own.
That's such a good question, Suzy. I think that Martin Luther said that religion is the default mode of the human heart. For example, we when we're suffering, we think, oh, it's because he's angry with me and he's punishing me. But that's not true, because Jesus took all of his punishment, our punishment at the cross, and it is finished. Or we think, if we only had regular quiet times and didn't miss, he would love me more. But our love, his love is not based on that. His love is unconditional. But our default mode, doesn't that happen to you, Susie?
Yeah.
You think, well, if I were better, mm-hmm. I know he'd love me more. Mm. But that's not how his love is.
Well, isn't that, that's the society that we live in, so addicted to results, so posturing and so inclusive, exclusive. So to consider that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. You know, going all the way to the cross before we knew we needed a Savior. We can't even fathom the love. But I want to know for you, as you studied the Song of Songs, did anything change you, stand out to you, surprise you? I mean, because you already were a student of the Bible before you dug in. So I want to know, any surprises for you?
Well, I think the thing that I have been so blessed by in the Song of Song is the word pictures. Poetry penetrates the heart. Hmm. And some of these word pictures are just so impactful. She begins with, will you kiss me with the kisses of your mouth? And just to begin to look at things that happen during the day as kisses from the king, when a friend encourages you or you get an answer to prayer, or you have the sense of his pleasure on you, those are kisses from the king. And another word picture she uses, she says, his name is like oil poured out. And I have a friend here, Susie, if I can have her share, that has a story on how this ministered to her, how understanding this whole picture of his name is like oil poured out.
Love to hear
so
that.
Much.
Yes.
Okay. Her name is Twyla, and I'm going to give her to you now.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Twyla. I'm Susie. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Yes. Tell us your story.
Okay. When I was pregnant with our second child, someone told us about a baby that had been stillborn, not the kind of story you want to hear when you're pregnant. And I said, I could never handle that. And then our baby was born with severe birth defects that were incompatible with life. So he actually only lived 16 hours. Mm. And I remember reaching a point when I really thought that I could not handle that. And I remember sitting by the table and with my head in my hands just crying out to God, God, I just can't do this any longer. I can't handle this pain. And the most marvelous thing happened. It was like there was oil being poured out on my head, physically warm oil from the top of my head, and it slowly went down my whole body all the way down to my toes. And the intense pain was gone. Obviously, you're still sad that the child died, but God took away that grief. I couldn't handle it, but God, with his precious oil, took away my intense grief.
So it was like you're sitting there and you just had a sense of outpouring just kind of cover you. And then it just took, I've been, and I've not experienced what you have, but I've, in painful places, I've had that experience a couple different times where you just knew it was a touch of the Holy Spirit, because you can't like talk yourself into feeling better after a tragedy like that. But he just met you in that place. What was it like for you after, once you got up from that place?
The intense pain was gone. I could face life again.
Wow. Wow. Well, Twyla, thank you for sharing that story. Someone needed to hear that today. Thank you so much. God bless
you. You're welcome.
Wow. You know, Dee, we don't tend to have an expectancy that God will ever meet us in that place, but he does that for us, doesn't he?
He does. And, you know, there's just one word picture after another in the Song of Songs that keeps pouring out his love. His name is like oil poured out. He kisses us with the kisses of his mouth. I am my beloved and he is mine, and just over and over. And there's something about word pictures, and I can tell you a story of how word pictures are so effective. I don't know if you've ever interviewed Gary Smalley or John Trent about their book on word pictures, but I was reading that and they said that when you can't get a man to understand something, you should use a word picture because it will penetrate his heart. And we were going to Thailand to adopt a daughter, and I was a little nervous about it. She was special needs, and she was going to be our fifth child, and it really had been my husband who really had the strong leading, and I was a little scared, but we did it, and we were bringing her home on the airplane, and Steve turned to me, and he said, "You know, some of those little boys in that orphanage were so cute." And I thought, really? Really? You're talking to me about more children? And I thought, I need a word picture. And I said, look out at that airplane wing and imagine that I am out there. And I am hanging on for dear life. But I don't think I can keep up with my husband in his Christian walk. And I'm going to plummet to my death. And he said, is that how you're feeling? And I, you know, I told him over and over, this is enough, this is all I can do, but then he got it. And in the same way, Susie, these word pictures in the Song of Songs helped me to get his love.
Boy, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how the Song of Songs fits in the big story of the Bible. We've also got a couple of songs we actually want to share with you today that just may help you remember who you are, whose you are, and that Jesus sometimes calls you away to the wilderness. Sometimes he calls you away from the hustle bustle so he can remind you again who you are, whose you are. Talking to Dee Breston, best-selling author. This book is titled He Calls You Beautiful, Hearing the Voice of Jesus in the Song of Songs. And thanks to her generous publisher, we've got another 3 copies to give away. Email if you want in the drawing. Susie is spelled S-U-S-I-E. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember that mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. Talking today about the love of Jesus, that he loves you with a passion and a heart and with really specificity. He loves you uniquely. He loves how he made you, and that love will change everything for you. Again, it's never about how high you can jump. It's that he stooped down to make you great. He did. That's what Scripture says. Talking to Dee Breston today, and her book is titled He Calls You Beautiful, Hearing the Voice of Jesus in the Song of Songs. We've got 3 copies. Love to get one into your hands. Email if you want a great study on the Song of Songs and you want a fresh reminder of how God feels about you. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget the mailing address. So Dee, tell us this. Tell us how the Song of Songs fits into the big story of the Bible.
That's a great question, because the big story of the Bible is the Cinderella story of a great prince who left everything in order to come and rescue the one he loves. And hidden in every book of the Bible is either Jesus or this plan of rescue. You can see it in the Exodus when Moses led the people through and the blood of the Passover lamb. It is a great rescue, and the Song of Songs is perfect because it is a great Cinderella story of a peasant woman. She is working in the vineyards, and she is ashamed of her appearance because at that time it was not considered attractive to be suntanned. And she says to this shepherd king who is gazing at her, "Don't gaze at me, because I am dark. The sun has looked upon me. My mother's sons were angry with me, and they made me a keeper of my vineyard, of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept." And this shepherd king loves her just as she is. And the whole song is about him convincing her of his love, and then she begins to respond and open up and draw nearer to him. So the vineyard, of which she is ashamed in the beginning, is beautiful by the end of the song. And that's interesting because Isaiah 5 says that the vineyard is representative of God's people. And in Isaiah 5, he cared for the vineyard, but she only yielded bitter grapes. But if we stay close to the Lord, as John 15 tells us, then we will yield sweet fruit.
Mm, so good. So you were married. You write about this, and your dear husband went on to glory, battled cancer. He's with Jesus now, and some maybe listening today are widowed, or maybe they're divorced, or maybe they're in a bad marriage, or maybe they never married, but they always wanted to. Mm. I'd love to know how God's love has ministered to you amidst your own heartbreak, and just the idea of the divine bridegroom, how that's impacted you.
Well, it has meant so much to me. As a widow, I will often cry out, Lord, be my husband. Mm. And that isn't just with practical needs, like helping me to figure out things that Steve figured out in the past, but just this sense of intimacy that he loves me. My husband loved me, and I loved being loved, and I miss that. But I do have this sense, and the song has helped so much with all these word pictures where he is describing how much he loves her. The song has helped so much for me to trust that. And I want women to know that. If they have an unhappy marriage, I speak to women in prison. Most of them have not known either the love of an earthly father or an earthly bridegroom that has been good. But I say, even if you never have had this, you do have a bridegroom who rejoices over you, and you can meet him in the Song of Songs. And that means so much. I think I maybe have shared this before on your program, Susie, but there was one night that was pivotal for me after Steve died, and I was curled up in a fetal position, and I said, Lord, you promised to be my husband, but you don't even have a body. How can you be my husband? And a memory came back to me of when I was a first-time mom nursing her baby, and he would cry out in the night, and I would run to him, but he would not latch on. He would scream and holler like I wasn't there, and I was there. And then finally he would find me and latch on, and his eyes would go to half-mast, and I would think, I was here all along. And at that moment, I felt like the Lord was saying to me, Dee, I am right here, and I love you, and you just need to rest in my love and trust that I really do love you.
Beautiful. So as we go off to break, this song is several minutes long, but I feel like someone needs to hear it today. And, you know, Dee's book is called He Calls You Beautiful. So is this song, He Calls You Beautiful by Planet Shakers. Just wanted to just soak in. I want you to know you're not your mistakes. You're someone he loves. Let's listen in. We will be back in a minute. Another great song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise, talking to our friend Dee Breston. We've got her on 3 months in a row to dig into the content of her great book, He Calls You Beautiful, Hearing the Voice of Jesus in the Song of Songs. We've got 3 copies, thanks to her publisher, to get into your hands. So if you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I loved how you wrote in the book, Dee, about times of wilderness walking where it seems like we can't hear him, we can't see him, we can't find him. And you referenced how he is found quickly by new believers. He wants to encourage their growth and their faith. But there are times when we become maybe more seasoned and mature, we have to go through times where it seems like we can't hear him and see him. And yet you might have young people who've gotten their way right away who will judge somebody who's walking through a storm where they don't quite yet see him. But we just can't possibly know what it's like for each of us to walk our unique journey. But the Lord is there nonetheless. So just talk to that whole dynamic of those wilderness seasons.
Yes, I love that concept. That was John Newton. He said sometimes new Christians are judgmental of the more mature Christians because they don't understand why they aren't having all these Red Sea partings.
Wow.
But the wilderness has a purpose. The purpose of the wilderness is to test and to try us and for us to find out if we really love him for him or just for his stuff. And it grows us. I think that most people, and certainly this is true of me, press harder into the Lord during times of suffering than in times of great ease of circumstances. And that is great. At the end of the Song of Songs, there's this verse where it is said, "Who is this coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved?" And so often it is the wilderness that causes us to press in and find that he's true. There's 3 love stages in the Song of Songs in the book. There's the first love, and then there's this wilderness time. But if you stay pressed in and don't back up, you will reach the promised land, the land of invincible love. If not completely on earth, definitely one day when we see him face to face.
Boy, you've got another friend. Before the break, we heard from Twyla. She's got 2 gals at her home, even right now, who have stories that were in the book. Tell us a set up Debbie's story, if you would, before we hear from her.
I will. I'd love to set up Debbie's story. Debbie and her husband, Ron, have been married 50 years, but they didn't know the Lord. And Debbie started coming to one of our Seeker Bible studies, and was interested but found it very challenging. She couldn't believe that you could just put your trust in Christ and go to heaven. But that's what we were telling her, and that's what the Word was telling her. And I had Ron and Debbie over for supper. And Ron is a great big guy. He works for FEMA and great big white bushy eyebrows. Mm-hmm. And he stood behind my counter, and he pounded on the counter and scared me. He said, "What you've been teaching my wife is not what I've heard in church all my life." I said, "Okay, so what is different?" He said, "You told her that all she has to do is put her trust in what Jesus did at the cross, and she'll go to heaven." I said, "That's right." He said, "She doesn't have to be good?" You know, it was such a shock to him. And Debbie struggled.
And little Dee is standing there going, yes.
Right, exactly.
Don't pound the counter anymore. Keep going.
And I'd just like you to hear from Debbie, her side, because she was having that same struggle because the gospel is such amazing news. So I'll let you hear from Debbie. Here.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Debbie.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Love to know your story.
Yeah, as Dee had said, I had always felt that I had to do something to gain favor with God and that I wasn't good enough for him to love me. So therefore, I must not be doing enough. And when we had our Bible studies, I just had a terrible headache all the time because I couldn't grasp it. I just couldn't grasp that he would love me that way. And one day I was driving down to have lunch with some friends. It was a rainy day. I didn't have the radio on in the car. And all of a sudden I felt this, I don't even know what it was. It just felt like, oh my gosh, he loves me. And I don't have to do anything. It was such a wonderful, wonderful feeling that I had never, ever felt before.
Debbie, how would you describe that? Was it just like a sudden knowing? Did you have kind of a physical sensation? Or did you just a truth drop from your head to your heart? How would you describe that?
I would think it's all of the above.
Yeah.
I think there was a part of me that felt like I finally went those 12 inches from my head to my heart. And that also that there was this feeling of warmth and that I was crying. And that I just felt like I didn't have to do anything. It was like this huge mystery or shoulder burden had been there, and now I just knew he loved me. And up until then, I had never, ever felt that.
Wow. How did your bushy-eyebrowed husband respond?
Well, first I didn't call him. I sent a note to Dee. So I sent her a text, and she can share that with you. But my husband, I just came home afterwards, and I said, honey, something really amazing happened. And he just looked at me. He said, really? And I said, yes. He says, really? And I said, yes. So I think that for both of us, it was just a huge realization of something that someone had said to us, but we never, ever felt that we ourselves would ever experience that.
Wow. It's really the gospel. And Debbie,
it is.
I'm just so grateful the Lord just downloaded the truth and gave you the capacity to believe it. Wow, just beautiful. Thank you for sharing your story.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Bless you.
I have to tell you the text I got from her. I was driving, and I get this text, and it says, 3 p.m., south of Egg Harbor. I get it. I don't have to do anything, do I?
Wow.
That's so great.
That is amazing. And is this the same story in the book where she had to go through some surgeries, and
yes,
her husband sent you a note saying, if because the first surgery was failed, and so she had to go back for another one, and he said, if this fails, I don't trust in God. And you had just a really a beautiful, gentle response to him, and you sent him a couple books. Take it from there, if you would.
Well, yes, I decided to go down to Green Bay and visit with him, and I took him a book called The Gospel According to Job by Mike Mason, and then I took my book, The God of All Comfort. And he has such a Play-Doh-like heart. Now, he had come to Christ by now, but he read both of those books, and then I get another text. If this surgery fails, I will trust God.
Just an amazing story. And, you know, it just speaks, Dee, to your presence. Just doing life with these people, and just that's what Jesus is so intends for us, just to be doing life with people and speaking out of what we know, and you've been discipling them. And well, here's a great excerpt from your book. It's just beautiful. Before the foundation of the world, his spirit was hovering over each person who would be his, who would one day respond to his invitation to the dance. We may not have been aware of his spirit hovering over us, yet when we look back on our lives, we can see his work. Say more if you would.
Oh, absolutely. I think it was Lauren Winter who said, when I look back at my life, it's as clear as Miss Scarlet in the conservatory with the rope. But there are clues all along if you look back at how he was wooing you and loving you. He brought this person into your life, or he made you aware of the stars one night and gave you the thoughts, is there somebody bigger? He has been wooing us all along. It just takes us a while to get it.
Yes,
and,
that's so true.
For Ron and Debbie, it took 70 years. But they look back at their life, and they do see different evidences of him wooing. And it is so much fun, Susie, to see these older Christians just coming alive. They had a struggle in their marriage, and that he'd been a Vietnam vet and was somewhat abusive verbally. And one time I was in the car with them, and Debbie said, turn up here. And he said, don't tell me where to turn. And she said, don't be so touchy. And they started arguing, and I said, hey, you can't talk like that anymore. You're Christians now. And he said, well, why not? You know, and so I got out the Bible and I showed him Ephesians where it says, let no unkind word come out of your mouth. And he said, well, that's great, but I can't do it. Well, Debbie said the next time they started to argue, she said, I'm getting out that Ephesians thing. And she read the Ephesians passage, and he grabbed the Bible, went out in the woods, fell on his knees and said, Jesus, I can't do it. Will you help me?
Wow.
And he is so gentled and so changed that everybody is saying, what happened, Ron?
That's amazing.
We can say, Jesus happened.
Yeah. Amen. The word combined with a receptive heart. I mean, miracles happen in our lives. So, you know, Scripture talks about who is this coming out of the wilderness, leaning on the arm of her beloved. What would you say are the, and maybe there aren't common denominators, but the common things that God deals with in our wilderness, as you see in Song of Songs? I mean, is it our will, our self-doubt? Talk about that, if you would.
Yes. Well, I think the main thing underneath all of our other behaviors is that we don't believe he really loves us.
True.
So, therefore, we have to retain control of our lives, or we have to run to different of his gifts, whether it's sex or food or friendship. None of them are bad, but they were never intended to be our solid rock, and we overdo with them in order to try to fill up this love hole that we have. And so he leads us into the wilderness, and often he'll take those things away from us. In Hosea, for example, which is a very parallel picture of the wilderness, he leads her into the wilderness, and he takes away all these things she's been running to show her that he is enough. And there in the wilderness, it says, I will speak tenderly to her. Because our main problem is we really don't believe he loves us, or we wouldn't be running after all these idols.
So, Dee, if a person feels like right now he's acting like a punitive God because he's taken away their crutches, their supports, might it, you know, I mean, maybe if they could back up and see, it's so that you can hear him, so that you can see him, because he is the love that never fails. Say a word, if you would, about that.
Exactly. To, you know, I mean, Hebrews gives us the image of a father, that a good father disciplines his child, and it is for our good that he leads us into the wilderness or allows us to go into the wilderness, because he loves us. He knows what we need the most is him, and he wants us to press into him. Satan wants to cause attachment disorder in the wilderness. Satan comes in and whispers, you see, he doesn't really love you. He's given you commands that are hard. He does not have your best interest at heart. And attachment disorder, and I had a child that had attachment disorder, is when you are convinced that your parent doesn't love you, and with children, it is because they've been abused. Well, we have not been abused, but we accuse the Lord of that when he doesn't give us what we think we want. And Satan says, back up, and the Lord says, oh, my darling, come to me. He's running over the mountains, like that song you played at the break. He's running over the mountains saying, arise, my love, and come away with me. And that is such an interesting word picture, because she backs up into the cleft of the rock. She is not willing to go away with him. She is afraid of the cost of surrendering and abandoning herself. And he says, oh, my dove. And that's such an interesting word picture, because doves are defenseless. They don't have claws or teeth. And so they get way back into the crevices, and she's way back in the crevice. But he is not a predator. He is love itself. And so then he leaves her so that she can have the sense of his absence. And sometimes when we feel the sense of his absence, we start to seek him, which is what she does. She seeks the one her soul loves, because she realizes, he's what I need. I shouldn't have let him go. So he's doing all these things to awaken us to our need, to what we really, really want. And we must not listen to the enemy's lies during that time, but press into him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind, which is what she does, and comes out of the wilderness leaning on her love. love it.
Beautiful. Talking to Dee Breslin. Maybe you needed that word today. Maybe you're in the wilderness and you've been feeling like God has been acting like a punitive God. He's not. As Dee said earlier, all that punishment was poured out on Jesus. He loves you. And maybe some of these go-tos, these defaults, have been inoculating you from the very presence of God and a sense of his love. And so lean in and pursue him. Press in and see what he will do. When we come back, we'll talk more about how do you walk in that knowledge and understanding that you really are the object of his affection. Talking to Dee Breslin, her book is He Calls You Beautiful. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. That song, How You Love Me, Lord. Great, great song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Dee Breslin, who wrote a number of books. We're talking today about the Song of Songs. He Calls You Beautiful is the title of her book, Hearing the Voice of Jesus in the Song of Songs. And Dee, I have to read another excerpt from your book, because you're a beautiful writer. Just love to have you speak to this. All right. It causes me to wonder every day of my life that the one who set the stars in place would lavish his love on me. And oh, how my portfolio has expanded since his spirit came to live in me. The moment we come into relationship with him, he takes the blinders from our eyes and we see life differently. Transitory things become less important, and the grace we have received from God begins to flow to others. This is what it means to be born again, for his spirit comes to live in us. The process of conforming us to his image continues as we spend time with him, gazing on his beauty and becoming like the one we behold. Becoming like the one we behold. Say more.
Oh, you know, it's so true. I love it when I get the sense that a stranger that I've just met might be a believer because I can see Jesus in him or her. I was on an airplane recently, and this father with his four-year-old son was being so dear and so patient with him that I just thought, I bet he's a believer because of the love that I saw in him. And I was reading a book called Union with Christ, and I saw him reading the top to see what I was reading. And I caught him, and we locked eyes, and we smiled, and he said, "Hello, sister." And I just love that because our portfolio does expand. And I use that particular phrase because just as a husband and wife have expanded portfolios from being married, they learn more what the opposite sex is like, and they learn different reactions in different circumstances that are valuable. My husband always said I strengthened his right brain.
Oh, I love that.
Appreciating more of the beauty in life. And he strengthened so many things in me in decision making. And in the same way, when we become one with the Lord, this is no ordinary bridegroom. And he expands his portfolio in us through his spirit. We see things other people don't see. We are aware of things that we can only be aware of because of the Holy Spirit. And isn't that amazing just to think that here we are, just puny little people, and the God who made the universe has done this for us.
You know, and you think about that he confides in those who fear him, you know, that
yes.
means he downloads things, as you say, others wouldn't know or shouldn't know, mm-hmm. that somehow we get to know. And so even though in this world we have trouble, we have wilderness seasons, even when we can't see him, feel him, sense him, he is near and his spirit doesn't leave us. His spirit is in us because we belong to him.
Yeah, we've been doing the study, He Calls You Beautiful, in a small group. And a lot of people have never studied the Song of Songs, except maybe if they did it just from the perspective of marriage. And they are just awakening, even though many of these are mature Christians, they're awakening to different ways he loves them because of these word pictures. And it's been so fun to see.
Boy. Well, you said you have a news story that's not in the book about a young newlywed
yes.
named Eliza. Yes. Let's hear that.
Yes. Eliza, she's only been married for about 2 weeks, and she was sharing just last week about something that really struck her from the songs. It's right after the passage where he's trying to get her out of the clefts of the rock, and she doesn't want to come, and he leaves, and she is just saying, well, it's okay, he'll come back, she said, because I am my beloved and he is mine. And this is what Hudson Taylor said that struck her so. He said, the bride's position is one of security, and she thinks, okay, I am his and he is mine, so I can find him whenever I want him. I don't have to respond to him right now. I can do that later. And she takes grace for granted. And Eliza said, you know, since I've been married, I was thinking, I don't have as much free time, and I don't have the time to do the things I want to do. I have certain shows I want to watch that I don't have the same time with. And she said, and then I had this realization when I was doing this study, well, this is the Lord's time, and I should be giving this to the Lord, and I'm just taking him for granted and just doing what I want to do because I think, well, I am his and he is mine, and I'm missing the great joy of going higher with him.
Mm, wow.
And I just love that.
It's beautiful, really. And the whole conversation today to me is an invitation to trust him more, to know him more, to wrap yourself up in his love because it changes everything. And we're going to pray now, Dee, and wondering if you'd pray for that person listening, just thinking of these different women you're discipling and just thinking, I want that. I want to know on a more intimate level just the power of the Spirit of my life and the capacity to understand God's love in a way that I actually know it. I'm wondering if you'd pray.
I'd love to. Lord, I pray for the listeners today. Oh, Lord, I pray that they would become expectant when they open the Word, that they would say, will you kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, that they would be aware of all the ways that you love them and want to call them away from the worldly things and spend time. Let them believe he means it when he says, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is lovely and your face is beautiful. Come away, my love. Let us believe that, Lord, with all our heart and soul and mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Dee, until next month, thank you so much for giving us your time today.
Thank you, Susie. It's been great to be with you.
Just for the remainder of the few minutes we've got left, Dee picked this song, Song of Solomon by Martin Smith. Just listen and just hear God's call to invite you to a more intimate walk. Nothing matters more than oneness with God. Listen in. He's with you. He loves you. We'll meet you back here next time.